Hello and welcome to Film Wonk. This is Glenn. I'm here with Daniel.
Hello.
And today we're going to be reviewing Sylvester Stallone's The Expendables. Now, Daniel, you and I saw Rambo back when it came out in theaters. Also a matinee, I believe, like this one we just saw.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that movie, I think, my read on that movie was that Sylvester Stallone can still deliver act and direct action quite effectively. I mean, that was not a good movie by any means, but
no.
it was a very fun movie.
Right.
And it was an extremely well done violent movie. What'd you say, looking at The Expendables, his new film, which stars himself, Jason Statham, Jet Li, Dolph Lundgren, Eric Roberts, Randy Couture, Steve Austin, and David Zayas, possibly the most wildly improbable cast until Machete comes out later this year.
Oh, God.
would you say that Stallone still has it?
I think so. I mean, for making a fun summer action movie, it was fine. I mean, I had a lot of fun watching it. The action scenes are well done, well choreographed. There's some absolute absurd shit that goes on in this movie. And it's entertaining. It's a popcorn flick. The dialogue is probably the most atrocious I've ever seen.
I kind of had a similar reaction to this film, and I sort of got that vibe based on the number of times we were laughing at the same time at the same bits of dialogue, including some that I think were sort of unintentionally hilarious. I mean, there's a moment where Eric Roberts, as the film's lead villain, he finds a bunch of paintings by the general's daughter, and he yells this line: "She's painting? That's how it starts!"
Right, because everybody knows revolutions start by painting.
It's true, and it's not even really clear who or what she is painting, or what, indeed, Eric Roberts is referring to.
I think showing an artistic bent is against militaristic and capitalism.
Quite possibly. Yeah. But I want to talk about the beginning of this film a little bit, and we're not in spoilers yet, although I don't really think it matters with this movie too much.
You really can't spoil
It's kind of
this
impossible.
Movie.
But the opening act of this movie is kind of where it fell apart for me. I was bored by it. The entire opening sequence, maybe the first third of this movie, which is all sort of character setup and kind of how these guys know each other and what they do together after a very brief sort of Somali pirates sequence,
yeah,
which I gotta say looked a lot better in the trailer than it turned out to be.
Yeah, you know, I had actually a similar reaction. I was kind of bored with the first third of the movie. I was like, this is slow. It's slow to develop.
Well, I would contrast it with something like Taken, which,
right,
have you seen Taken?
Yes,
okay.
I watched it with you.
Fair enough. The opening sequence the opening sort of fourth of that movie it's all character setup. There's no violence, there's no action, but I don't know if it's Liam Neeson or if it's just that movie's character setup was a lot better. But I was not bored during the opening of that movie. I found it interesting enough, and when we got into the action, which happened fairly quickly in that movie, I didn't really regret the time that I'd spent with these characters, and I don't think that was really the case with The Expendables.
Well, I think Taking was different because it was a family, as opposed to like some mercenary friends.
I don't know if I'd make that distinction, because, I mean, while I think we're sort of meant to believe that they are a family, even though they're a family that bickers constantly.
Right.
Which is, I suppose, like a real family.
Odd sentences and random.
Indeed. what do you now? You have more interest in professional wrestling and MMA than I do. What do you think of the casting of Steve Austin and Randy Couture in this movie?
I think Steve Austin did a much better job. When he yells at people, I was entertained.
Yeah, he had there was weight to it. Like that was he was terrifying. I quite enjoyed him.
That's partly because, you know, in pro wrestling, part of your skills is being able to, you know, perform a good promo. So speaking on the mic is important, and so it kind of translates a little bit to movies where you have to deliver your lines of dialogue effectively, where in MMA, you don't really ever speak unless you're interviewed after the fight, and it's just all, you know, off the cuff, whatever you think. And Randy Couture actually annoyed me. Whenever he spoke, I wanted to punch him in the face. And I knew that'd be bad, because he'd kill me.
I have to agree with you there. The first scene with his character, in which he explains the cauliflower ears,
right,
from just many years of fighting and damage there, I was glad of that explanation. I sort of had heard about that before, but it was,
yeah,
probably not something I would have thought of immediately.
I mean,
but it felt unnecessary, and it sort of set me up to it sort of introduced his character as not being able to act at all.
Yeah, it was an odd aside, too.
Yeah.
To have, like, his character talk about that for, like, 2 minutes was kind of... It was out of place.
What it felt like to me was some studio head said, "Wait, what's up with this guy's ears? We got to explain that, or people are going to be wondering." I want to talk a little bit about the action of this movie. I think the big set pieces, all the stuff with the plane, all the stuff later on down in the catacombs, I think was pretty well done and pretty well shot. You hit it with all the action was well choreographed. That is something Stallone has proven himself good at. But I found that a lot of the earlier fight sequences were very difficult to follow, and in a way that in any other movie I would have said it was the Paul Greengrass shaky cam and the fight was incomprehensible. But strangely, it kind of worked in this movie because this cast is so unusual and full of these very distinctive actors and just body types that you can always tell who is who in a fight between Jet Li and Dolph Lundgren.
Right.
Or anybody
happy
the rest
to see
of them.
Dolph Lundgren in movies.
He was kind of awful in this movie. I was not too familiar with his 80s filmography, but I was more of a Van Damme man myself. But,
I was hoping Van Damme would be in the movie.
Apparently he was unavailable. He did JCVD just this past year where he sort of played a parody version of himself, but he was either unavailable or not interested.
Honestly, I would replace Couture and put Van Damme in there in a heartbeat because... I mean, Lundgren, he did action movies in the 80s, and I mean, he's infamous for, you know, his role in the Rocky movie, I think it was Rocky 3, where he fights, you know, Stallone
right.
as the big bad Soviet.
Well, you know, it's certainly possible that that Van Damme was unavailable because Stallone refused to yield to his contractual obligation to show his ass in every movie.
That's true.
But either way, a lot of the small close-up fights, I think, were a little hard to comprehend, but I didn't really mind it as much as I do in other movies.
Yeah, it was a little difficult to follow, but you could tell who was who, and the fights were well choreographed and didn't go on long enough that it became, like, really confusing.
The thing about the cast of this movie, the sort of novelty of the cast of this movie, is that many of the actors felt kind of shoehorned in, and I'm thinking specifically of Jet Li. Now, I don't think Jet Li is a great acts very well in English, but he's given some good performances. I quite liked him in Unleashed or Danny the Dog, and he's generally done more to acquit himself on screen than other actors that are primarily known as martial artists, and I think that's good. But I think he didn't have much to do in this movie.
He really didn't. I mean, at one point in the theater, I turned to you and I was like, I hope Jet Li does something.
Well, then of course, in the very next scene, there's a shootout and he's hanging out the side of the car with a submachine gun. So I mean, right. You sort of got your wish a little bit, but. But Jet Li is all about being fast and kicking ass, and we didn't really see so much of that in this movie.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that he would be one of the League Expendables, you know, just because he can actually still do a lot of action well. I mean, Stallone's good at shooting and punching, but Jet Li can bring the goods when it comes to, like, a choreographed fight.
Well, okay, let's talk about those League Expendables then. So we have Jason Statham, and we have Sylvester Stallone. Now, I never thought about what it would be like seeing these two actors together, but... They almost seem cut from the same cloth, and here's what I mean. Sylvester Stallone can deliver the cheesiest dialogue about the most nonsensical plot in existence and still give it weight, and I think that was something that worked really well in this movie. The plot did not matter at all to me, but whenever Sly spoke, I was like, yeah, you tell it, man. Now, that is something that Jason Statham has been doing consistently since the beginning of his career. I mean, you look at a film like The Transporter, where the stakes in that movie are just utterly ridiculous, but anything he says has weight to it. It has drama to it. And seeing those two on screen together, I found completely compelling.
Yeah, they have great chemistry with each other, and they looked like they were having a lot of fun.
Yeah, also, I bought them as friends, and that was and that's not nothing. I mean,
I was kind of hoping to see them fight at one point.
Fight each other.
Yeah, I want to see Stallone and Statham.
I mean, their knife-throwing fights were kind of unnecessary, but...
How many knives do they have?
A lot. I'm not sure where the line between knife and machete ends, because, I mean, Dolph Lundgren's knife from the beginning, which we see a number of characters with as the film goes on, is just ridiculous.
It was huge. I don't know. The whole movie's over the top, though. I mean, at one point, one of the characters hammer tosses a bomb. So.
Well, let's call that a spoiler. But this movie is built on moments like that, moments of just complete ridiculousness. Now, we haven't even gotten through half the cast here. Terry Crews, who pretty much appeared to just be in this movie to make love to an automatic shotgun later in the movie. You know, he was fun, but I didn't really see what he was doing here.
Yeah, his dialogue was easily the worst out of everybody's.
Yeah, it kind of made me long for Idiocracy.
Well, and with some of the cast members, I was thinking, I was trying to think back of what action movies they had done to earn their place on, you know, as part of the Expendables, and I would rather have that guy be replaced more by Mickey Rourke, who...
And Mickey Rourke was kind of, had kind of a small part in this movie, as the sort of tattoo shop owner who gives them their jobs. It's not entirely clear what the relationship is there, but... And you know he was fun, but we've sort of seen his kind of snide persona in Iron Man 2 earlier this year, and it's not really anything new. And just watching him kind of sit around and bullshit with these guys is just not that compelling. But the other sort of small cameos, I guess, would be Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger, who show up in literally the only scene they are in this movie, which is in the trailer.
It was my favorite scene in the movie. It was so silly and over the top that when Arnold walks in, I was just like, I want the cheer.
Yeah, the line that Bruce Willis says to those two when they're first shown in frame together, I'm not going to spoil it, but it made the entire theater laugh out loud.
It was the best line in the movie.
But that scene was pretty forgettable. I mean, it was fun, but it was not anything relevant to the movie. It was just these actors together and really kind of talking out of character at times.
Yeah. What did you think about the ending? Like how the movie kind of tying a big plot and with our lead villain here.
Well, the lead villain, who's played by Eric Roberts. Now, I freaking loved him in this movie. Now he was most recently he's known for playing the mobster Maroni in The Dark Knight. And I liked him in that movie as well. So to see him kind of having this second coming as these cheesy villains is definitely something I can approve of.
I don't ever want to see him as a good person in any movie.
Ever again.
Yeah, in any movie. I mean, he's...
Right, and he was comically evil in this movie.
Oh, absolutely. And I bought his character. I mean, he was a mercenary. Okay, yep. I can deal with this.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as how that is resolved, I'll leave it at that. It's kind of what I expected. I mean,
yeah, it's a callback, and it's cheesy, but it's still fun.
Definitely. I think this movie is pretty inconsequential. When I was thinking back to movies that it reminded me of, I was actually most reminded of True Lies, the James Cameron film, I believe, from 1994, with Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis. Now that movie ended pretty similarly with sort of one guy taking down a compound full of terrorists, the Harrier jet sequence notwithstanding, but I found that sequence more compelling in True Lies than I did in this movie. I mean, to see them sort of, it's dark out, there's gunfire everywhere, there are explosions everywhere, and none of it really matters. It's just a whole lot of people dying who we don't really give a shit about. I thought the ending felt kind of flat, but. Yeah, this was a fun movie. I would say see it as a rental, or see it with your friends, or see it in a packed house.
If it's really hot outside, like it is here today, go see it. You get some popcorn, some soda, and watch some terrible, terrible dialogue and some nice explosions.
There have kind of been a lot of these movies this year. This appears to be the year of 80s callback movies. We have, we just saw the trailer for Machete, which comes out later this year, as of course the expansion of the Grindhouse fake trailer from a few years ago. But we've also had The Losers, we've had The A-Team. This seems to be the year of escapist action, and I think a month from now I won't remember a single thing that happened in this movie.
Yeah, I'm probably from a week from now. We'll probably remember a couple of things, but yeah, this is a throwaway movie.
All right, well, I think that brings us to the end of our discussion. Thank you for visiting Film Wonk, and have a good night.